Tonight's shiur we begin Torah Tesvov in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 46, the right-hand column, about a quarter of the way down the page. Rav Nosson Zal writes Loshen Rabbeinu Zal that this chapter in Likutei Moran is taken verbatim from Rabbeinu Zal's notes. Usually that means that the wording is very concise, very sharp. Rabbeinu Zal bases this chapter on a pasuk in Chumash, where Hashem says to Bnei Yisrael, V'atem tihiyu li mamleches koyanim, that the Am Yisrael will be a nation, a kingdom of priests, of koyanim for Hashem. This was said at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Mi sheroitze litoim tam oir hagonos," a person who wants to have the privilege of tasting the hidden light, haynu soidos haTorah sheizgalel osid. This refers to the secrets of the Torah, which are going to be revealed in the future after Mashiach comes. Tzorich lahalois midas hayiro l'sharosho. That person has to elevate the quality of fear to its origin. Now this concept of a hidden light, the Gemara says that when Hashem first created the world, at that time, Adam HaRishon was able to see from one end of the world to the other. Because the light was so bright, we know today, when a person, let's say, is standing outside around Shkia time, around sunset, because of the fact that it's starting to get dark outside, even though you can still see, you certainly can't see anywhere near as far as you can in the morning when it's bright, when the sun is shining brightly. You can see twice as far or three times as far. We know that there is such a concept that as it starts getting dark, your vision becomes shortened. Picture if we are to understand that what we see nowadays at 9 o'clock in the morning or at 10 o'clock in the morning, the light that we see then is actually darkness, compared to if Hashem were to really turn on the lights. The Torah says that when Hashem first created the world, it was much more brighter than what we know of today, what we call today being light. And to the extent that Adam HaRishon was able to see not just two, three blocks away, but he was able to see from one end of the world to the other end. But the Gemara says that Hashem saw that the world was unworthy of using that light, and therefore Hashem concealed it. The pasuk says, "Vayar elikim es ha'or ki toiv." Hashem saw that the light was good, and the Gemara says, "Ki toiv lignois," that it was good to hide it. It was good not to keep it around because there would be rishoim at that time, whom if that light was around, they would misuse it. So the Gemara says that Hashem decided to hide it for tzadikim la'osid lavoi, that light would be put aside, not used at all throughout Olam Hazeh, throughout the approximately 6,000 years that the world is supposed to last, but rather it'll be used afterwards. When Mashiach comes, that's when Hashem will bring back that original brilliant light. That's one explanation as to where that hidden light went. The Zohar HaKadosh says there's a second place that light also went to. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that is in the Torah. Batoira, Vayar likim es ha'or ki toiv lignois, Hashem saw that it was good to hide in the Torah itself. Because the Zohar HaKadosh says that the secrets of Torah, the mystical portion of the Torah, which is called Rozei Oiraisa, the secrets of Torah, the Hebrew word Roz, which means secret, is also Bigimatria Oir, Aleph Vav Reish. So that here also, within the secret portion of the Torah, is found that original light of Shivas Yimei Bereshis, and that light which tzaddikim are going to be zeche to see Losed Lovoi. Rabbeinu Zal in this chapter is going to give us an idea as to what the prerequisites are. If a person wants to be zeche in this world, if a person doesn't want to wait till Mashiach's going to come, a person wants now to be zeche to taste from that light that the world is going to benefit from when Mashiach comes, there's a procedure. If you'll follow a certain procedure, you're going to be able to climb inside the Torah and to get to a level where you'll be able to learn the secrets of the Torah, and there you're going to find this Oir HaGonos, this light that's called the hidden light. And now Rabbi Nizal is going to explain this procedure step by step. Originally, he starts off by saying that you have to elevate Yira to its source. What kind of... Yira means fear, and Rabbi Nizal is going to explain clearly what he's talking about. Ubame male nesayira. How does a person elevate Yira bebechinas mishpot? Through judgment. Kamo ishikosuv, as the Pasuk says, melech bamishpot yamid eretz. A king, through judgment, establishes the land. In other words, he gives the land an amida. He makes the land stand properly. The eretz, hubechinas yira. The word eretz, which means the land, the word eretz also represents fear. Kamoi shekosuv, as there's a pasuk in Tillim that says, eretz yoro. The land, the world, was filled with fear. So we see that the word eretz is associated with yira. Melech ba-mishpot yamid eretz means that through mishpot, we are ma'amid, we stand up the yira. We elevate the yira to bring it up to its origin. Rabbi Nizal says, what does this mean? When we use the word mishpot, what are we referring to here? Hainu sheyishpoit eskol asokov. We're talking about a person judging every single one of his actions, making a cheshbon hanefesh at the end of the day, reviewing everything he did that day, everything he said that day, everything he thought that day, and analyzing each item. Did I do the right thing? Is this really what I wanted to do? Is this really what I want to be doing? Is this my tachlis, etc.? This is a concept, sheyishboit eskol asokov, kamei shekosuv, as the posuk says, yechalkel dvorov bamishpot, that a Jew is supposed to be mechalkel, his dvorim, everything that takes place in his life, he's supposed to nourish it with mishpot, with judgment. Hainu sheyishboit v'yodun bi'atzmoy kol asokov. This means that a person should, by themselves, judge every single action that they do, and by doing that, a person will be zeichet to remove from themselves all kinds of fears. A person won't have to be afraid of anything extraneous. And he'll elevate the quality of fear to a pure, clear state. And then that person will be zeichah that there will only remain inside of them fear of Hashem, not fear of anything else, not to be afraid of animals, not to be afraid of any enemies, thieves, killers, anything like that. Rabbi Nizal explains now, Kikishen odom don v'shoifet es atzmoi, because when a person doesn't do this, when a person doesn't pass judgment on themselves regularly, azai donin v'shoiften oisoy lamalo, then what happens is, Hashem, the heavenly court, passes judgment on the person. They sit in judgment. The Zohar HaKadosh says that when a person goes to sleep at night, the Gemara says that sleep is actually 1/60th of death. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, just as when a person dies, everybody knows there's a concept of the neshama going before the heavenly court, the Bezin Shamala, and being judged for everything that it did throughout the entire lifetime. So too, the Zohar HaKadosh says, every single night when a person goes to sleep, which is a little bit of a taste of death, the neshama is judged for what it did throughout the entire day. Just as you have a concept of Yom Kippur once a year, and you have a Yom Kippur Koton once a month, Erev Rosh Chodesh, here also there's a concept of a nightly judgment that the neshama experiences, where heaven sits in judgment on the person's neshama. When the person doesn't judge himself, when a person doesn't sit in judgment on themselves and review and analyze everything they did, then donin v'shoiften oisei lamalo. Ki im ein din lamato, yesh din lamalo. Because the Medrash says, when there's no justice below, then justice is done above. U'kesheshoiften es odom b'mishpot eleilo. And when this judgment is done in Shamayim, in heaven, azai hadin nislabesh b'chol advorim, then, if the heavenly decision is to punish this person, then that punishment cloaks itself in anything. It can cloak itself in anything. V'chol hadvorim nasim shlichim lamokoim. Everything in the whole creation becomes a messenger of Hashem to wreak vengeance on this person, to see to it that this person gets punished. If there's a decree in heaven, after reviewing what this person did that day, that the person deserves to be punished, the entire creation is at Hashem's fingertips. Everybody's just standing waiting to see who's going to have the privilege of carrying out Hashem's justice on this person. V'chol hadvorim nasim shlichim lamokoim, lasais bozeh ho'ish mishpat kosov. Everything in creation becomes Hashem's messenger to carry out in this person the judgment that was written down for this person. K'mo yishom r'chazal, as the Gemara says in Edorim, l'mishpotecho omdu, they stand waiting for your judgment, hakoil avodecho, all are your servants. And the Gemara says this means all the angels and all the different items in creation stand by, waiting. When Hashem passes judgment that a person is supposed to die, each and every single one of the animals and angels and trees and the ocean are all waiting to see who's going to be the one to carry out this judgment on the person. Azai hakol avodecho laso is din boze odom. All of them are Hashem's servants to carry out the judgment against this person. Avol kisheshoyfet esatzmoi. But if the person is smart and he doesn't wait for that, he preempts Hashem, he jumps the gun. Rather than wait for Bezin to judge me, I'm going to judge myself first. And I'm going to analyze what I've done and see what I did wrong. And whatever I did wrong, I'm going to apologize for, whether it's to another person or whether it's to Hashem. And I'm going to really take upon myself in a serious way not to repeat it the next day. That's the mishpat that we're talking about here. Ukishiyesh din lamato ein din lamalo. The Gemara says that when there's judgment on earth, then there's no judgment in Shemayim. Because the Gemara says, our Rebbe Zichron Avrocha used to explain, that when the Satan comes before Hashem and says, Hashem, let me tell you what this guy did today. Hashem says, what are you telling me old news for? I heard this person's whole story already. He came to me a few hours ago and told me everything he did wrong. And in that manner, Hashem becomes disinterested in hearing it from the Satan and in passing judgment. When? When the person did it already by himself. And then, ve'ein hayira mislabesh b'shum dovor lo'ir esodom. Then, the fear of Hashem, that Hashem would normally want to teach a person, let's say a person did sins, and the heavenly court had to judge him, and they had to pass, they had to decide that he has to get a punishment, part of the purpose of the punishment is to instill the fear of Hashem on this person. He's going to be given a real good patch to know to be afraid of Hashem. But if this person already has enough of a fear of Hashem that he passes judgment on himself, he does this, he doesn't need any help in this, he does it by himself, then there's no need for this whole messenger, for Hashem to use these messengers to teach this person the lesson of fear of Hashem. Kihu ba'atzmoy nis'oirer, because the person becomes aroused to fear of Hashem on his own. V'zehu, this is what the Pasuk says in Tehillim, V'som derech arenu b'yesha elokim. There's a Pasuk like this in Tehillim. The Gemara darshins in Soita, V'som derech mi shesom or choysov, a person who evaluates, the word som could also be shom, Loshum means to evaluate. A person who evaluates his orchos, his path, the path that he walked on throughout the whole day, he sits down and analyzes it. Haynu sheshoyfet orchosov, he judges his path. K'may shekosu ve'ela ha-mishpotim asher tosim lifneihem. Note it uses the word mishpot together with tosim. Losum, loshum, is through mishpot. A person who does that, al yidei zeh arenu b'yesha Elohim. That person will be zeicha to see the salvation of Elohim. What is Elohim? Elohim ze bechinas yira. Elohim is Hashem's name that represents fear of Hashem. Kama shekosuv, as the pasuk says, es ho Elohim yirei. Fear Hashem. And note Hashem's name Elohim is used. Hainu bechinas yira. Oile meha klipo umeha umois alide mishpot. This means that this item called fear, which sometimes falls into the hands of the klipois, the forces of tumah, sometimes it falls into the hands of the goyim. This concept of the Jews being afraid of other nations of the world. Why? Because the fear of Hashem is missing or it's defective. What happens is that fear gets distributed to other places. Each and every single Jew must have 100% fear of Hashem. If the fear of Hashem is intact, everything is okay. If not, if there's any lack of fear of Hashem, automatically it means that that fear is simply redirected in another direction. It'll manifest itself in being afraid of animals, in being afraid of heights, in being afraid of other nations, whatever it is. So Rabbeinu Zal says here that through Mishpat, a person elevates this Yirah that's in the wrong places and puts it back together and puts it redirects it towards Hashem. Because originally, before the person was involved in this procedure of mishpat, and it wasn't him judging himself, but rather it was Hashem, the Bezen Shalmala, passing judgment on him, then the fear that had to be put into this person, Hashem has all kinds of messengers to do it. What kind of messages? Klipa is tuma, Rishoim, the Hamans of the world, all the people whose purpose it is to put the fear of Hashem into the Jewish people. The Gemara says that much better than all the prophets who warned the Yidden to be religious, to be good, otherwise Hashem would punish them, that the fear that the prophets put into them didn't compare whatsoever to what Haman did to them. When Achashverosh took off his ring and put it on Haman and said, "Here, you're in charge," that put more fear into the Jews than all the Nevi'im put together. So we see that when the Yidden are lacking in Yirah Shemayim on their own, the fear gets put to others. They're given fear. There's no question. They're going to be afraid. If they're not going to be afraid of Hashem, Hashem gives them other things to be afraid of. Rachmona Litzlon. But through Mishpat, a person restores the Yirah to Hashem. This that we find that people are afraid, they have phobias, they're afraid of different things. Misar, for example, from a general, an officer, or from burglars, people who are afraid at night, they're afraid to go to sleep, they hear any noise in the house right away, they think there's a burglar in the house, living with that fear on them. Vishar pchodim, or all the other kinds of fears that people have. Zehu shehayiro nislabesh poze adovor. That's only because this fear of Hashem is being misplaced, and it's cloaking itself in this other thing. Ki im loyhoyen nislabesh hayiro poze adovor. Because if the fear of Hashem would not be found clothed in that item, loyhoyo koyach poze adovor lahafchid es odom. There'd be no way that this thing could instill fear into the person. Why is this object able to instill fear in the person? The answer is because this object has received this fear, this yiras Hashem, that the person is incomplete in. Automatically, that fear went to these other places, and that's where the person gets it from. However, Rabbeinu Zal says that a person who will be zeicha to this avoid of mishpat, to sit in judgment on themselves daily, and to speak to themselves on a daily basis, to speak to Hashem, and to speak to themselves. There were tzaddikim who used to speak to every single one of the organs of their body. A tzaddik would sit down at the end of the day and say, "Eyes, give me a report. What did you do today? Fine, you spent an hour learning Torah. What about the other times when you were confronted with a test? You were walking in the street and something presented itself that you weren't supposed to look at. And rather than turning away quickly, you allowed yourself to dwell on it. What are you doing? Don't you know that there's a Gehenim for that? Don't you know that by doing that, when you're going to look into a Sefer, you're going to see clouds covering the words. You're not going to be able to understand really what it's talking about and the true meaning behind it." And going through each and every single organ of the body and doing mishpat, actually passing judgment, analyzing what it did correctly and rewarding it and giving it its chaskas. Tomorrow's another day, a whole new set of tests. Make sure that you stand up to the test and do what Hashem created you for so that you'll make sure to get reward. There's a Masechta Gehenim that the Sifrei Kabbalah quote where it discusses that there's different rooms in Gehenim. There are rooms where they have just ears, Rachmona Litzlan. People who misuse their ears to listen to Lashon Hara or to listen to other things they weren't supposed to, there's a special place where they punish ears, Rachmona Litzlon, and they have thousands of ears there. So we see that this mishpat could go on every single part of the body. A person could sit and analyze, or in a general way, to talk to himself, to talk to Hashem about what he did throughout the entire day, what he's thankful for that he did, any mitzvah that he did, to make sure not to misplace the credit, not to take full credit that I was so good that I did this, but to know to thank Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, for the fact that I was able to go to Minyan today, I woke up in the morning. And each and every single detail, this kind of mishpot, Rabbi Nezal says, this mishpot is ma midi eretz. It elevates the yira. It takes any fears that this person might have had for any baloney, any nonsense, and it restores it to Hashem. This person's yira shemayim becomes b'shlemus. How? Because he restores, the yira doesn't have to be in a slavish in all of these secondary objects. Now Rabbi Nezal says, v'shoyrish ha'yira, when we talk about elevating yira to its source, what is the source of yira? Hudas. The shoyrish of yira is das, sechel. K'moy shekosu be'etz chayim, as is found in the writings of the Arizal, shemenatzbach hu bedas dezer anpin. That the letters, the five letters of the Aleph Beis, mem nun tzadik pechof, which represent yira, they represent fear, because the Gemara explains that these five letters, when they come at the end of a word, they take on an extra form. A mem, there's a regular mem, the way it's written when it's in the middle of a word or a beginning of the word. When it appears at the end of a word, it's written differently. So to nun, tzadik, pei, and chof, these five letters, they're called oisiois sofiot, end letters. And end is always a concept of din. To close something, closed is a concept of din, judgment. Open is a concept of chesed, harchova. When things are open, the shefa is flowing. When the gates are closed, it's a concept of midas hadin. So these five letters, menatzbach, represent givurois. They represent yira, fear, midas hadin. And the Arizal says that menatzbach, its place is in the das of zeranpin. Its source is from das. K'may shekosov, as the pasuk says, Oz tovin yiras Hashem v'das elikim timtzo. When you will understand fear of Hashem, then you will have found heavenly knowledge. So we see that there's a definite connection between yiras Hashem and das elikim. Rabbein Ezal says that this das is the mokor of yira. V'ikar hadas hu b'leiv. Where is the main place that das is found in a person? It's in the heart of the person. K'moy shekosov, as the pasuk says, v'loy nosan lochem leiv lo das. Hashem did not give you a heart to understand. Gam shom ikar hayira. And we know that the heart is also the main place where the fears of a person are found. K'moy shom ruchazal, as the Gemara says in Kiddushin, dovor hamosor leleiv nemar boi v'yoresa melekecho. That when is a person supposed to have fear of Hashem? Things which a person does out in the open, which people see. There, it's not a question of being afraid of Hashem, because a person goes to shul and he puts on tefillin on his hands and on his head. Why does he do it? One of the reasons is because if he doesn't do it, people will see that he's standing there in shul without tefillin and he'll be embarrassed. And he's afraid of that embarrassment. So there, it's a fear for people because it's something that's visible. But the Gemara says there are certain mitzvot which are invisible, certain things which a Jew is required to do, where it's possible for it not to be visible. For example, the Gemara says a Talmud Chacham walks into the room. People are required to stand up when he walks into the room. The Gemara says, what if a person makes believe he doesn't see? Notice he's looking at a sefer, he knows the person came into the room, but he could just as easily make as if he doesn't see, and that would give him the permission not to have to stand up. The Gemara says, you should know, v'yoreisa melekecho ani Hashem. Besides being afraid of what people are going to be seeing, don't forget that I'm Hashem, I can see inside your heart. I can see whether you really knew that that person walked in or not. So the Gemara says, Dovor hamosur lelev, nemar bo v'yosem lekecha. Those things which are inside the heart of the person, there the Torah gives a warning, be afraid of Hashem. Because even though you're not afraid of what people are going to think, because people can get the wrong impression, you can't fool Hashem at all. So we see that fear of Hashem is related bedafka to the heart, to those things that are invisible, those things that are only known to the heart of the person. Hainu sheyeda mimi yisyore, which means, what's the shlemus of Yiras Hashem? When the Yira is connected to Das, which means when a person is zeicha to really understand what there is to be afraid of. Hainu liyira es Hashem hanichbod Yiras Horoimamus. This means the highest form of fear that exists. It's not a fear of getting a patch by Hashem. It's not a fear that Hashem is going to smack you. It's a fear that comes from understanding. When a person actually comes to understand the greatness of Hashem, and a person is awed by Hashem, and that awe results in a respect that comes from awe, which is this special kind of fear, that's a Yira with Das. That's elevating Yira to the highest place, where the Yira is not coming from patch, it's not coming from smaller items, it's coming from a level of understanding. Because I understand how great this is, I know it's something to be in awe about, to be afraid of. Not fear from being punished, as much as a fear of greatness. And in order to be afraid of the greatness, you have to be able to understand the greatness. So here Rabbeinu Zal is talking about a person coming to a level of understanding Hashem, and thereby having Yira on the highest level. This Oz Tovin Yiras Hashem, a Yiras Hashem that comes through Tvuna, through understanding. Now it's interesting, there's another chapter in Likutei Moran later, Torah Kuf Nun Dalid, which is a short version of this chapter that we're learning now. However, over there they insert a couple of extra psukim that we don't find here. We'll just mention it outside. For example, they quote the pasuk in Iyov, where the pasuk says, "Haloi yir'oscha ksilosecha." Your fear is your foolishness. And Rabbeinu Zal says there, we see that there's a concept of a yira with ksilus. We see that there's a concept of being afraid of something out of foolishness. You think this is something to be afraid of? Baloney. The only thing there really is to be afraid of in this world is Hashem. And if you're afraid of Hashem the right way, you'll find that there is nothing else that could possibly impose fear on you. Because once you have fear of Hashem, you stand way above all the animals, all the nations of the Goyim. There's no way in the world that they could impose fear on you. It's only because that you're weak in fear of Hashem that suddenly you fall under the authority of these other things, these messengers of Hashem, and they're able to have a fear, you know, a handle on you, to be able to keep you underneath them, underneath their spell, underneath their fear. Also, Rabbeinu Zal quotes a pasuk there, "V'lo yinosan lechem leiv lo das," a few psukim that show, stressing this point, that there's a fear. There's a yira that's foolish, and there's a fear that's with seichel. And the fear of Hashem that we're talking about on the highest level is a fear that comes from understanding Hashem, where a person on his level reaches the highest level of hakorah, of understanding of Hashem's greatness. Now Rabbeinu Zal says...
knows he's done something wrong in his motive, but now he's afraid that Hashem is going to punish him through, you know, this instrument, you know, another person, an animal. So isn't he trying to still be afraid of...
The answer is that the Gemara tells us that Hashem... The question is, if a person is judging themselves at the end of a day and they realize that they did something terrible that day, aren't they supposed to assume, let's say, that because they did this terrible thing, that it's most likely that Hashem will punish them, and that the punishment can come from any direction? It could come from a cat jumping out of an alley. It could come from anything at all. It could be that could impose the fear on a person. Shouldn't a person think that? The Gemara says in one place that you should know that Hashem is the opposite of people. When it comes to a judge in this world, if you come to a judge and tell him, "I stole $100,000, then obviously the first thing the judge is going to do is say, "Give back the $100,000. If you say you did something against the king or against the country, you violated one of the laws of the country, usually it's most logical that he's going to make you pay whatever fine or whatever is necessary. The Gemara says, but by Hashem, it's the opposite. We're not talking about Bein Odom L'Chaveiro. If a person steals money, naturally he's got to return it. But the Gemara says that Kaviochel Hashem's attitude is Mechase Pshov Lo Yatzliach. If a person tries to hide his sins, not to talk about it, not to think about it in this way, not to do this Mishpot, Lo yatzliach. The person will not succeed because he's not going to be able to hide them. They're going to pop over all around him. There's going to be things biting him and hurting him that are going to be showing him that his sins are not hidden away in some safe. They're right in front of him. Umoide, whereas a person who confesses v'oizev and does his best to leave the sins, not to repeat them, yeruchom. That person Hashem has pity on, which means that one of the things that guarantees a person that they won't be punished for sins is this mishpat itself. This is brought in the Gemara in many places, that a person who zoche to be mekayim this advice of judging himself, his own mishpat replaces, and it's instead of the heavenly mishpat. That's the deal. That's how easy it is. How easy is it? Try it. Try to do this consistently every single day. The Satan will put so many different obstacles and so many tricks to try to divert a person's attention or mess a person up from reserving 30 minutes or 60 minutes a day for doing this. Why? Because the Satan knows that this is the most unbelievable gift that a person has. All it takes is an hour. All it takes is a certain amount of time of sitting down in a private place, sitting, standing, walking, whatever it is, in total privacy with yourself, with Hashem, and passing this judgment, and this could replace billions of units of Gehenna, of punishment, of suffering, of all different kinds of things, which the Mishpat of Hashem is Nislavishim. This, the answer is tshuva. There's different types of tshuva. This particular nekuda of tshuva, confession, mishpat, the Gemara says that a person who commits a sin, umoide, and he confesses his sin, umizbayishba, and he feels embarrassed. He sits down and reviews the sin and thinks of its magnitude and allows himself to feel genuinely embarrassed for what he did. The Gemara says he's forgiven not just for that sin. One sin can get him forgiveness for 1,000. That's the deal. That's how Hashem works. Person who does an Aveira and he's sincerely mizbayishba, not only will the busha result in eliminating that sin, but it can even eliminate thousands of others. That's why this avoda is so serious. It's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. It's mentioned in all the other Sforim. And yet, go find Jews that are serious about this, that are capable. This is an item that's known tzaddikim do this. And this is an item that each and every single Jew has available to them as a means of avoiding these other yirois, as a means of not having to be afraid of all the different things that normal people, in quotes, find themselves being afraid of.
Isn't there a concept of not dwelling on your avera?
Yes. Also true. Anything can be taken to a wrong extreme. We're not talking about a person doing this in a just like Lahavdil, comes to Avela, so comes to mourning. There's a mitzvah for a Jew to mourn the passing of another Jew. But there's an Avera to do it in an extreme way, to tear your flesh, certain other things that the Goyim are known to do, because they go to extremes. Their sadness is an extreme sadness. Their happiness is a wild, destructive kind of happiness. Whereas a Jew's derech is always up the middle, a certain compromise. Here also, we're not talking about dwelling on the sin to the extent that you're going to get depressed as a result of dwelling on it. That's treif. We're talking about dwelling on it enough to bring yourself to a feeling of embarrassment, to a feeling of regret, apologizing, and being ready to start again. Being ready to start fresh serving Hashem with a confidence that the sin has been forgiven. Just like the Gemara says about Yom Kippur, person who doesn't believe that Yom Kippur is going to forgive their sins, for that person it doesn't work. With this item also, if a person does this and he doesn't believe that the Gemara is telling the truth, that when the Gemara says, this is what Hashem wants to see, and if you do this, you'll be starting with a clean slate, chas v'shalom, and a person isn't really going to get the benefit of it. Now Rabbi Nezal says, and when a person gets to a level of understanding, that person gets to a level of hasogas hatoyro. Kama shekosuv, as the pasuk says, ani chochmo shochanti orma. I am wisdom, and I rest with those that are sharp, with those that are intelligent. Meaning, a person who's intelligent, that person receives chochma. Sheshchunas hatoyro etzel bardas. The Torah rests among those who have sechel. Kemoy shekosev, as the pasuk says, kutshebarichu yoiv chochma so lachakimen. The pasuk in Daniel says that Hashem gives chochma to those that are wise. The pasuk says in Chumash, ubelev kol chacham lev nosati chochma. One who shows a serious interest in das, Hashem gives him das. It's not if a person has no das, Hashem gives him das. A person who has no das, but shows that this is really what they want, and they at least start it, they start chasing after this, Hashem gives them more. Avol yesh, so through das, a person is zeicher to hasogas ha-toira. We said that you need to elevate yira to its sheirish, which is das, and that's done through mishpat. And we said that once a person has das, they have hasogas ha-toira. Now Rabbein Azal says, avol yesh shnei bechinos toira. There are two types of toira. Yesh bechinas nigla u'bechinas nistor. There's the revealed portion of the toira and the hidden portion of the toira. But regarding the hidden portion of the Torah, the secrets of Torah, usually people are not zoiche to that until the future. However, you should know there is a way that a Yid could be zoiche to the secrets of Torah in this world. How is that? Through tefillah with mesiras nefesh. We're going to learn later exactly what that means. Davening with mesiras nefesh. Ule tefillah zoiche al yedei Torah shebenigla. How is a person zoiche to tefillah? By studying the revealed portion of the Torah. Ki ha-Torah shebenigla hi bechinas Sinai. Because we know that Torah shebenigla is what was taught to Bnei Israel on Mount Sinai. Kamo shamar Chazal, as the Gemara says, Sinai v'oikar horim ha'iminai odif. The Gemara says if you have two types of rabbis, one who has a very broad, basic knowledge, the other one, the second one, has a deep knowledge. So the Gemara calls the one with the broad, basic knowledge, Sinai, he's like Mount Sinai. On Har Sinai, Hashem gave us the whole Torah. The other one is Oiker Horem, which means he's very deep, representing one who knows even the secrets of Torah. So note that Sinai is the symbol of Nigla, the one who knows the entire revealed portion of the Torah. So the Gemara asks, which one do the Jewish people need more? A Boki, a person who has broad knowledge, or a person who has deeper knowledge? The Heshivu, the Gemara answers, Sinai Odif, that the one who has the broader knowledge is more needed. Because everybody needs the guy with the wheat. The person who harvests wheat, everybody needs him. Meaning the one who has the most basic ingredient, everybody has to come on to him for producing whatever they want to produce. Therefore, the revealed part of the Torah, the regular part of the Torah, that's something that everybody needs. Aval haTorah shebenistor, but the secrets of Torah, ze'irun inun detzrichen lo. There are very few people that need the secrets of Torah. There are very few people that are worthy of tasting the secrets of Torah. Ubechi, period. So we see that Sinai represents Torah shebenigla versus Oiker Horim, which is the one who has the Torah shebenistor. Now, what is Sinai also? Sinai hibechinas shiflus. Sinai also represents humbleness. Kama shomer chazal, as the Gemara says, Shehiniach HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol hehorim v'lo inosan ha-Torah el al har Sinai. That Hashem ignored the rest of the mountains and he gave the Torah only on har Sinai. Why? Because of the fact that it was the smallest mountain. It represented humbleness. So we see that Sinai, which represents Torah shebenigla, Sinai also represents humbleness. The Chazal Omru, and we know that the Gemara says, Shetfilas Hashofol Einonimesis, that the tefillah of a humble person is never rejected by Hashem. Kamay Shekosev, as the Pasuk says, Lev Nishbor Venitke Elokim Loisivze, that a person who has a broken heart, he feels dejected, he feels small, that person Hashem never rejects, never ignores. So we see that Sinai, which represented humbleness, through which you get your tefillah is accepted, through which a person is zeichet to the best kind of tefillah, Sinai also represents nigla of Torah, the Torah shebenigla. So just like through humbleness a person gets his tefillah answered, so too through Torah shebenigla a person is zeichet to tefillah. Because Torah shebenigla is Sinai, shiflus is Sinai. It's both the same thing. Vayidei tefillah shehi bebesiras nefesh. And when a person is zeichet to tefillah with mesiras nefesh, shemevatel kol gashmiusoi. What do we mean by tefillah with mesiras nefesh? Mesiras nefesh means I'm ready to throw myself away. What is myself? Myself refers to my body, my physical needs, my gashmius needs. When a person is davening, most people assume that what else is there to daven for? I want to have a lot of cake today, I want a bicycle, I want a car, I want each one in their own silly way, looking for their physical needs. Rabbi Nizal says here, there's a concept of tefillah with mesiras nefesh, where a person in his tefillah throws away the nefesh. He's not interested in any physical needs at all whatsoever, but rather he reserves the right, the privilege of tefillah, only for ruchnius, only for the kovod of Hashem. What does he daven for? He doesn't daven for his own personal needs. He davens for Hashem's needs. Hashem, it bothers me that your honor is being disgraced, that the fact that the Jewish nation is in such a low state and all the nations of the world look down upon us, they all think they're superior, they all think they're ruling us, is as a result of our sins. And the fact that this is we're an embarrassment to you and all of those things, and a person directs the tefillah purely in that direction, that's the example of tefillah with mesiras nefesh that Rabbi Nizal says here. Shemavatel kol gashmiusoi ve'ein gvul. He's mavatel his gashmius completely to the extent where he knows no boundaries. There's no, he's infinite. He goes into infinity. He leaves the finite world. He leaves the olam hagashmi and he just soars to a different place completely. Ukishein gvul, and when there's no gvul, azai yochoi lahasik ha-Torah shelosid. The person who rises to that level, that's the person who will be zeichet to be masig, this hidden light, this Torah of the future, shehi einoi gvul. Because that Torah is also called an infinite light. The nature of that light is also something that's b'li gvul, it's infinite. Ve'ein nitfeses b'gvul. It's something that cannot be contained within any tzimtzum. So here Rabbi Nizal in this paragraph tells us that we spoke earlier about being male yira to das. What is das? Das is an inyan. Through das, a person is zeichet to hasogas haTorah. Hasogas haTorah branch out into two divisions, nigla and nistar. Rabbi Nizal says you start with nigla. A person starts with learning Torah shebenigla. Through Torah shebenigla, the reward is tefillah. Because the Gemara says in a few places that without Torah, there's no such thing as tefillah. Meisir oznoi mishmoya Torah gam tefilosoi toyeva. Without Torah, there's no tefillah. So through learning Torah shebenigla, a person zeichet through tefillah, and when he sharpens his tefillah, when he elevates his tefillah, to the point where the tefillah is with mesiras nefesh, which means a concept of b'li gvul, b'li tzimtzum, then he's zeichet to something else that's b'li gvul, b'li tzimtzum, which is this oiraisa of losid lovoi, this Torah of the future, which is also something infinite, a concept of an infinite light. Naturally, this doesn't necessarily apply to everybody. This applies to each person on their own level. Rabbi Nizal here is not telling us that not to daven for our physical needs, ever. On the contrary, we find Rabbi Nizal told even his greatest Talmud, Rabbi Nosson Zal, not to consider himself too great to daven for a pair of shoes, that when his shoes were worn out or weren't proper, Rabbi Nizal said to him, don't think it's beneath you to ask Hashem to please give me a new pair of shoes, that's something that you should be doing. However, Rabbi Nizal stressing here that number one, there are times within a person's life where he could experience aliyas. He could feel a certain height in religion where he rises to a level where he doesn't feel a need. These items become so silly to him and so meaningless to him where he wants only the kavod of Hashem. And there he strips himself from his body in a sense. This concept of a hispashtus agashmius. The Shulchan Aruch says this. The Shulchan Aruch says that the chassidim harishonim, the Gemara says when they used to daven shachris, it was a 3-hour deal. An hour preparing, getting themselves into a serious enough frame of mind for davening, an hour davening, and an hour afterwards coming down from the shachris. They went up so high that it took them an hour to reattach themselves to this world. And the Shulchan Aruch says that they were zeichet to his hispashtus hagashmius. What does his hispashtus hagashmius mean in another sense? The Imei HaNachal says here, it means getting a feeling of closeness to Hashem to such an extent where shoes and food and clothing and baloney, all of these things seem so meaningless, it seems so childish compared to what this person really wants. All this person wants is to feel a certain closeness to Hashem, a certain level of hasoga silakus, which the person feels is so far above any kind of physical pleasure. We see cases with tzaddikim, Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Shimon Yochai Zal, who at times gave their talmidim a shir. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal gave his talmidim a shir once for 3 days straight. They didn't break for food or sleep. Why not? How not? The answer is because they went to a certain place that's above the concept of food and sleep and all of this, and body and clothing, all of these things. The Gemara says, not for davening. The Gemara says that that level of secrets of Torah accomplishes the same thing, and this chapter in Likutei Moran is one of the proofs for it, that secrets of Torah represents the same place that tefillah gets you to. In fact, the Gemara says in Shabbos that people like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai v'chaverov, they are potter from tefillah. Why? The answer is because what they were doing accomplishes the same exact thing as tefillah does. Rav Nosson Zal Likutei Halachos goes into a whole explanation to prove it, how tefillah is a concept of nishma, naseh v'nishma, and secrets of Torah is also nishma. So that's why the Gemara says they were potter. It's only Kriya Shema, which is a Chiyuv Daraisa, that obviously they did say, but nothing else, and no concept of breaking for meals or sleep, because there was a Hispashtus Hagashmius. Yes. No, it's not two options. It's one procedure. It's different steps in a procedure. Rabbi Nizal starts off by saying that in order to be zeichet to Torah Gonos, you have to, which is secrets of Torah, you have to start by being Ma'ale Yira to the Sheirish. Being Ma'ale Yira to the Sheirish means being Ma'ale Yira to Das, which means that your yira should not be with foolishness, being afraid of silly things, but rather to be afraid of what you're supposed to be afraid of, which means Hashem. And Rabbi Nizal explained how that's done, right? That through mishpat, a person is zeichet to be ma'ale the yira to its proper place. That's step one. What is its proper place? In das. Then Rabbi Nizal explained, this das, what is it? And what does it lead to? It leads to Hasogas and Torah. And Hasogas and Torah, there's two divisions. There's the first step within Das, which is Torah Shebenigla, which is what you need to get to Tefillah, which is what you need to get to Tefillah B'Mesiras Nefesh, which is what you need to get to Torah Shebenistar. So there's like six steps. It starts with Tikkun of Yira. Tikkun of Yira is by elevating Yira to Das through Mishpat. Once you elevated the Yira to Das through Mishpat, now you're ready to deal with the Das. What do you do with the Das? Learn Torah Shebenigla. By learning Torah Shebenigla, you'll be zeichet to Tefillah. When you'll perfect your Tefillah to such a point where you're zeichet to Tefillah b'Mesiras Nefesh, then you'll be zeichet to Torah Shebenistar. Those were all the steps, so far.
I don't understand whether or not it means that only a few people need the Sotah Sefer. I taught him that one of the revolutions of Hasidus was that really everyone has to be exposed to
it's Rabbeinu Zal is quoting the Zohar Kodesh, which says, not true, meaning that there is a concept of a certain portion in Torah which is not for the masses, necessarily. This doesn't... Now, here again, what Chassidus did to the way that I was given to understand it, what the Baal Shem Tov HaKodesh did was he was able to take the blessings of the secrets of Torah, he was able to take the teachings of the Mekubolim, and be able to, first of all, set up a circle of Talmidim, Tzadikim, Kedoshi Elyoin, who were on a level to study those secrets, number one, and to them he taught those secrets, and he brought it down much closer to earthliness than the Arizal had originally revealed it. He brought it, made it much more practical. He showed people how to apply it to Avodas Hashem, to their daily Avodas, number one. And number two, he gave these Talmidim the inspiration to be able to go out and take that knowledge and bring it still down further, translate it into things which even common people could take advantage of. Meaning, for example, if the Arizal spoke about Simcha as being something in the Sphirois, that B'Simcha is Oisiyos Machshovo, and that represents a place where the Klipois have no connection at all, these things, they were able to bring it down to the common person and tell a person that you simple person, you worker, you're in a position to do what the Mekubolim could do. If you'll do your Avodas Hashem B'Simcha, you can reach the same heights that other people, you know, reach through all kinds of different Yichudim, etc.
Gematria Sodas? What are Sodas?
This is a very interesting point. Today meaning in the past 25 years, it's become very popular to use this word mysticism, Jewish philosophy, and Kabbalah. There's ladies shiurim in Kabbalah, etc. The word Kabbalah, again, I feel that we were privileged to have a rabbi, our Rebbe Zechon Evrach, Rabbi Rosenfeld Zal, who was thoroughly knowledgeable in the Zohar HaKodesh, in the writings of the Arizal, etc. He told us, from what he told us, the Kabbalah that you find in Sifrei Chassidus is a little smattering. It's the lightest parts within the knowledge of Kabbalah that a person would need to be able to get the tiniest taste, like, of what this wisdom is really about. When we talk about the limud of Kabbalah or secrets of Torah, we're talking about the whole geography of heaven, kaviyochel. In other words, something that the Arizal has an encyclopedia on to learn. Lahavdil, the word encyclopedia, which is something that very, very few people are zeichet to. If people hear, the Gemara has gematrias, Tosfos, Shulchan Aruch has gematrias. There are people who make a mistake because Sifrei Kabbalah have gematrias. A person assumes that if he knows three gematrias, he's already a Kabbalist. You know, he's registered with the Institution of International Kabbalist Society, and it's all baloney, all childishness, seriously. This wisdom is something which takes years for a person to have the prerequisites that they need to understand it, which are the Torah Shebenikla, as you see here. That there's no way in the world that a person could really have any achiza in Torah Shebenistar without first having a very serious hold on Torah Shebenikla.
The reason I ask is in learning experiences with Chabrusas, I've heard people say very kind of deep, sensitive understanding of the Godness. You know, these are not people who reach this madrega of mysterious nefesh tefillah, certainly not all the time. And yet, so they'll say just the gavatim thing in a Godness, something that's very subtle.
Right.
I would not call that Torah Shebenigla. It has nothing to do with halacha lemaisa.
Very possible that it's not Torah Shebenigla, that it's a taste of Torah Shebenista, like from an eye droplet. Mm-hmm.
But they haven't reached this level, so how are they able to do that?
The answer is there are two ways. Either a person does this by himself, either a person reaches this level by himself, or he has rabbis who have reached this level, who share with him some of their knowledge, and then he's able to do it. A person could have a living rabbi, let's say, who is on this level, and who has this knowledge of secrets of Torah, and disseminates, again, with an eyedropper, little droplets for his students to taste and to feel and to be able to pass on to other people. Or a person can look in certain sforim, which again, these sforim give it to you with an eye droplet. You know, give you tiny little bits, which to a person who's not familiar with this knowledge, hearing that droplet is bigger than anything he's ever learned in his entire life. It's deeper. It's true. There's no question. But a person shouldn't misunderstand and think that once he heard one chiddush from the Arizal, he's obviously a fully registered, accredited Kabbalist. It's nothing like that. Because the Shulchan Aruch is full of the Arizal's wisdom also. You know, halacha is other things, some of it based on gematria, some of it based on this wisdom. Two separate items completely. There's a concept of a person getting to understand Torah Shebenister, which it's silly to think that a person will be able to do it without knowing Torah Shebenigla, because all of these Sforim of Nistar are based, if you read them, you see that they're based on assuming that a person knows, for example, all the laws of Erevin thoroughly, because many of the principles that are used in explaining Hilcha Shabbos, let's say, the concept of, the Arizal starts talking about Hashem's name Yud Kei Vov Kei, and he starts off quoting the first Mishnah in Shabbos, Yitzias HaShabbos Shtayim Shein Arba, and the Yud Beis Gvulin of Hashem Kav Yochel, corresponding to the 12 different types of Rishuyos. In other words, he's starting off with an assumption that he's talking to somebody who has all of this knowledge. That's just for starters. There's a second issue related here, where Reb Chaim Vitalzal says that a person could have all the knowledge of Torah Shebenigla and still be unworthy of learning this wisdom, unworthy of understanding it and misinterpreting it if he's lacking in emunah. If a person doesn't have the emunah to know that if he'll read anything in this Torah Shebenister that he won't understand, he'll attribute the lack of understanding to his own shortcoming, not to the Torah, not to the tzaddik who said it, but he'll attribute it to himself. Reb Chaim Vitalzal says, such a person, even without being thoroughly knowledgeable in Torah Shebenigla, you're allowed to teach him, you can share with him a secret in Torah or something like that, and it won't harm him. It'll definitely help him. The way our Rebbe Zichron Levracha did. In his shiurim, he put in sometimes, again, with an eyedropper, tiny, tiny little tidbits from Torah Shebenister, and if he was speaking to people who were taught serious emunah in Hashem and serious emunah in tzaddikim, there was a guarantee that that could do no harm. Exactly. A person will find, not can't, not allowed to, can't, you'll see it doesn't work. Plain and simple. Now, it's many of the principles that are discussed there, especially the Tikkuni Zohar, for example. Each line, he quotes a word, and if you don't know that word, he quotes Yal Kigam. The Tikkuni Zohar, one place, it has a whole shir on Yal Kigam. If you didn't learn Eila Metzias in Shas, and know that Yal Kigam are the six cases in Shas where we paskin like Abaye against Rova, and know what the six cases are, you're not going to begin to imagine what he's talking about, and how he's tying that in, plain and simple, how he's tying it into, you know, something that related to Hashem. Again, those that sat in Shurim, where you heard a Rebbe teach this, you saw, that was where you saw his Bekiyas and Torah come out. When he gave a Shir in Tikkuni Zohar, and he took one line, and in order to explain that line, he had to bring references from Sukkah, from here, from there, and everything, and to show you how this line is drawing all the connections between these different places in Torah Shebenister. That's how you got to see how the Torah Shebenister is based on a foundation of Torah Shebenigla, for sure.